The following message by Reverend Sandy Corrine was recorded at the Revival Center in Clovis, California.
Ezekiel 2. Ezekiel was a great man of God. He was a prophet. And we hear God call him out in Ezekiel 2. 1 and 2, it goes like this. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak to thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spoke to me, and he set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. Oddly enough, what we have read is that the Lord is saying, stand up. I'll speak to you. Now, it isn't that God doesn't speak to you when you're down. He does. You could be rolling around in a puddle of tears. You can be cruising around in the mud. You can be doing a lot of things. He's there. He's there. He's your encourager. He's got you. He won't let you go. He loves you. All those sentences that people say. He's all those things. But when he is going to pull you from here to there, and you've stirred up your gifts and he's noticed it, he will tell you then, stand up, because I'm going to talk to you. You stand up. His ministry was spirit-led. Ezekiel is one of the weirdest characters in the Bible. He was a priest living among Jewish exiles. He was in Babylon after the taking of Judah and Jerusalem by Babylon. Their kingdoms had increased. This is around 600 years before Christ. Ezekiel's visions and prophecies are powerful, and they're vivid. And one could get lost in them. They're more dramatic, I think, than the revelation. God asked him to do specific things for specific purposes, and he did them, and he saw those purposes come to pass. He was among the thousands, Ezekiel was, of young men that were deported, like I said, from Judah, and now living in Babylon when King Jehoiakim surrendered. You could study this. There's all important things. I want to pause and let you know that I had asked you to stir your gifts up, and I mean it. Look for opportunities to do something you wouldn't do before. Right, Samuel? Look for the Lord to move you from here to there. Look for the Lord to come and say, stand up now. Enough of that. Enough of that. Stand up. Because I am going to show you a new thing. I'm going to show you a great thing. We're going to go to a place where we have not been before. But you've got to stand up. Part of standing up is shedding yourself of the things that have held you back. The tumult and the fear. There's trial there. There's tragedy there. And so you have to deal with it. Whatever it takes, you got to deal with it. Because the Lord tonight is shouting to you, saying, stand up. I am going to talk to you. I don't know if you've ever seen a movie, an old movie maybe, where the kings were, you know. When the kings entered the room, what happens? People stand up. People bow down. People do something. Something changes. When a bride enters a room, people stand up. There's something to standing at attention when greatness walks by. The Holy Ghost is here, setting, resting, provoking each one of you, because the Lord is saying, get up. And when he says get up, what he's saying is get up out of that mess. Get up out of that mess. Doesn't matter if somebody tried to break you. Are you broken? I don't think so. You're not broken, but you're complaining about their effort. That makes you dumb. You're not broken, but you're complaining about their effort to break you and giving it power as if you're disappointed that you're not broken. Stop doing that. Bigger things are in place. Greater things are at play. The Lord is shouting from heaven saying, stand up. I'm coming. It's tough you didn't notice that. It's too bad you didn't see that. But get up. It's his way of saying, quit crying about that mess. Move on. Until those tragic days of imprisonment and capture in Babylon, Ezekiel was being trained for the priesthood. But during the exile in Babylon, God called Ezekiel to be his prophet. That's the greatest and the worst thing that it could ever happen. This was one of Israel's darkest times. In Ezekiel chapter 47, we're going to read that, the first five verses. God is showing Ezekiel a vision. And in that vision, the house of God emerges. We're going to read that. And from under the door of that house, a bit of water is flowing from under the threshold of that building. I have visited this before a few years ago, but the Lord has told me to point a couple other things out. It is specifically for you. So pay attention as we go. Ezekiel 47, 1 through 5. Afterward, he brought me again under the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. When the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to my ankles. Now hold on to the visual. Again in verse 4, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees, and again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and they were to the loins. Afterwards, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that it could not pass over. So, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. When the Lord gives you a river that cannot be passed over, he wants you to swim it. These are waters to swim in. This is made for swimming. He gets you ready with the ankle water, with the knee water, with the thigh high water. He gets you ready. And then it comes time to swim. You can either sit on the shore and carry on about how nobody encouraged you. There it is, full circle. You can cry about that. Or complain about your trouble, your tragedy, your wounds, your error. Or you can go ahead and swim. I'm not a good swimmer. I had bad lungs my whole life. Diseased and then one lung and just not a good swimmer. But listen, if God said, I'm going to put you here and I'm going to put you a few hundred feet over here, it's all water. And if you can just swim it from here to here, every little thing is going to be okay. I got news for you. I would swim it. If I had to limp and crawl, get floaties, grab a couple turtles, whatever I had to do, I would do it, and so would you. But the trouble is, people say, well, not a swimmer, can't swim. I wasn't taught to swim. I wasn't taught to ride a bike. Those aren't things country people learn how to do. my uncle threw me in a swimming pool in Napa, California. They were the fancy relatives. And so I learned how to dog paddle. That's what I did. I lived. It was good. But swimmer? Yeah. Survivor? Yeah. Swimming and surviving are different, and they look really different, too, let me tell you. But when the Lord tells you, swim the distance, at that point, you don't need prayer. You don't need encouragement. All you need is the knowledge that the Lord told you to go from A to B. He told you to go. You don't need somebody to agree with what you heard from God. You don't need somebody to help you along. And you don't need somebody to massage your face every 300 feet and tell you good job. You don't need any of it. You need the information that the Lord told you to go. And it'll be a wore out, tiresome, bloody mess, but that doesn't matter. What matters is God said, go. Right? So a cubit is about 18 inches, right? So you can do the math and figure out how long this space is. As he walked this, it's approximately the length of 5 football fields is what he's dealing with. All right? It's a good amount of space. And he's walking across, and the water gets deeper and deeper and deeper. It does not say, and this is interesting, it does not say he was a world-class swimmer. It doesn't say he even knew what swimming was. I don't even know if it was invented yet. It doesn't say he was good at swimming. It says he was good at hearing God. Amen? He is good at hearing God. God will always take you to impossible tasks. And the minute you get used to ankle water, here comes the knees. Minute you get used to the knees, up, here it comes to the waist, we're going. The minute you're okay with walking through waist-high water, which, P.S., by the way, is really hard to do. There's a huge effort that comes into that. It's hard to wade through that kind of water. Then he'll say, well, now you got to swim. 1,500 feet to his ankles. Another 1,500 feet to his knees. Another 1,500 feet up around his waist. And he's going, and he's going, and he's going. And then the angel comes and says, well, now things are going to get different. You ever heard the Lord say that to you? Well, now things are going to get different. And now it's waters to swim in. Now it has become a river. It was at this point that Ezekiel makes an observation about the water. He says, man, these are waters to swim in. It wasn't just a project anymore. It wasn't a process to get through one thing into another, go from one stage to the other. He made note, hey, these are waters to swim in. The water has become a river. I'm not keeping you forever, so pay attention. It was moving. It was going somewhere. It had a direction. It was deep enough that wherever it was going, it was going to take you with it. Wherever it's going, it's going to take you with it. You just got to stay in the wet. You just got to stay in the water. I don't know if you've been in a drowning situation or water that's moving violently and or quickly, rapids, you know. I have got caught in those things. There is nothing you can do. How many knows that? When you're in a rapid like that and you've lost your boat, the oar hit you in the head, you're like, wah. You can't make it. You cannot control that water. You can't knock the rocks out of the way. They are stationary. The water is taking you. And it'll take you wherever it wants. Water can be dangerous. That's this water. It has become a river. It has become a water of movement. But if you read further into the text and look further into his vision, you find a couple things out. You see that it was no ordinary water. It was a river of healing. Whatever this water touched was healed. But it wasn't a swimming pool in someone's backyard. It wasn't a fun, exciting water slide up at Looper Mountain. It wasn't something that anybody would enjoy, a sprinkler in the backyard. I'm getting wet. No. It was an unknown violent force that reckoned to be dealt with. And it commanded respect. Healing is often that way. Whether it's mentally or physically, so often the waters will thrash you about before you wake up and realize, hey, these are healing waters, man. And you get hope. And you begin to claim the promises of God for your life. And you begin to do something that God told Ezekiel. You begin to stand up. It's different when you begin that journey. This water that Ezekiel was wading through as he was led by the angel, and never forget that, he wasn't alone. The angel was with him. It was a realm of the miraculous that few people get to experience. But because he was not afraid to move forward, deep, unto deep calling to deep, he would swim, and he would be exposed to the miraculous hand of God because he was willing to let the water take him. What a scary thing, really, when you think about it. If his heart had not been set on God, if his mind had not been set on God, he would have been scared to death. But he knew what he knew. He knew that the Lord God Almighty was the one that called him into that water. Amen? It's represented as the amazing power of a living God, this story is. And even in our own lives, we have seen that and known that. Anyone that would enter this water, anyone that would be willing, anyone would be healed as they went. Healed as they went. It is the traveling out past the ankles that matters. It is the submission to the water, which is the Holy Ghost here, submitting to the water past the knees, making the effort in a spiritual sense beyond the water at the waist, beyond what we can gain, and more about the spiritual prosperity to bless the Lord. It is a surrender to the water. It is a surrender to the water, the Holy Spirit of the living God. As we surrender, we find we could submit. This man, Ezekiel, he had to take a long walk, you know. It wasn't a short distance. Like I said, it was about 5 football fields long. In order to see, in order to come to the place where it was waters to swim in, he had to go 5 football fields, being taken, water that's rising incrementally. Water's weighty. It's pressing against him. He's going. 5 football fields. He had to stay in the game, as they say. He had to keep going. Now, He may have said, why am I walking in this? What's the eternal outcome? We don't know if there's mud there. Is there life in there? How much is there? I swam with alligators one time. It was the most fearful, creepy thing I ever did in my entire life, and I'll never do it again. Swimming with sharks was way easier. I'm telling you, we don't know what creepy thing was within that water. Perhaps it was not a Caribbean blue. We don't know. But the Lord called him to go into it, and he had to stay in it. And it wasn't until after he had been in it for a while that he would understand, these are healing waters. There isn't anything going on here. There isn't much happening here. Perhaps 5 football fields later, he would understand the long walk meant something. And maybe he's getting tired. Maybe you're tired. 5 football fields. What an object lesson that would be if we could just pull it off somehow. The water getting higher and higher. And you're walking and you're walking and you're walking. It had to have been tough. And he was tired, I'm sure. And now it's at his waist. It's harder to move in. It wasn't until its hardest moment. He did not realize these are waters to swim in when it was at his ankles. He didn't say, whoa, these are healing waters when it was at his knees. No. He had to go through that stage, go through that stage, go through that stage, and in the very end, 1 part out of 4. Who knew? Healing waters. Stay in the water. Stay in the game. Don't try to drown because some fool hasn't encouraged you. Because I have news for you. If you need encouragement, you're going to get encouraged to do the easy thing. Because the people around you don't want to see you suffer. And they'll do CPR on you any chance you let them. It's okay. You should get more sleep. You don't need to get up and pray like that. Come on. They will do CPR on you and inject you with slumbering fluids to where you will not be able to get out of yourself. Don't let it happen. You are radical and awesome in every way. To gain the full blessing and the answer, your feet cannot touch the bottom. You have to be carried through the water. You have to allow the hand of God to take you. The things that you're used to, your feet, that's tough. You can't, you know, it's foreign. People, when they learn how to play water polo, it's difficult because they're used to touching the bottom and springing up from the bottom. Well, they teach children when they're young in water polo, you can't touch the bottom. And they almost can't make it because they're used to having something to step on or to spring from. And it is that way in life. And it's not such a bad thing. But spiritually, it is a bad thing because you need control then. If you can't manage it, then you can't walk through it. You're not supposed to manage it. You're supposed to be floating with the Lord. In each stage, you notice as you read that the walk was the same distance. 1,500 feet, 1,500 feet. But you know what? It's the same distance. You know what that means to you? It means God's building you. He's not a cheapskate. He's building you. He's taking the time to watch you suffer, to encourage you along the way, and to help you out so that in the end, you can look back at that water and say, hey, everybody, come on in. The water's good. And they'll believe you because you survived. Amen? Would you stand? The Lord is taking us to that place. Waters to swim in. Waters to swim in. When people around you are having a difficult time, and they are, they're going to look at you waters to swim in. How are you swimming in your water? Are you flopping around? Are you crying for the bottom? Are you begging for encouragement? What's the matter? How are you behaving? Sometimes God gives us waters to swim in, and his very presence sweeps us off our feet. Amen. Acts 7, I'm going to read it to you. It says this in verses 37 to 39, and in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, and he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke in the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. He is speaking of the Spirit of the living God. In Luke 15, we find the prodigal. He came to himself, the Bible says. Really odd scripture, very telling, actually. He came to himself. And some of you tonight have come to yourself, and those of you watching by television, you come to yourself. You realize, wait a minute, this isn't who I want to be. This isn't what was planned for me. And you snap out of it is what you're doing. The prodigal came to himself. And tonight is the time for you to come to yourself and embrace Jesus fully. Some of you have been scared to death of the water because, buddy, you can't swim. You flat out cannot swim. And it's scary to you. But the Lord sends his Spirit to carry us. Psalm 66 says, we have gone through fire and we have gone through water. But the Lord has brought us out into a wealthy place. Amen. There is no fire that's too hot. There is no water that is too high that the Lord himself has not decided by design that you're worth carrying, because you are. So those of you who have not been doing well in the water, you're playing in ankle-high water, I want you to come to yourself tonight. I want you to snap out of it. Because it's easy to play in ankle-high water. It's even refreshing on a hot day to play in knee-high water. The thing about waist-high water, though, is you don't move a lot. You kind of lounge, you know? You kind of jump around a little bit and lounge. But when it starts to get a little higher and you have to swim, that's an effort. That's an effort. Tonight, the Lord wants you to get out of the ankle high. He wants you to move out of the knee high. He wants you to lay down and let the Holy Ghost take you. And if you go alone, I'm sorry, who cares? If you go alone, what does it matter? It doesn't matter. If nobody understands you, so what? The best thing that could happen to you is for you to realize that Jesus is faithful. He'll give you people along the way. Listen, people are nice. They're fine. People are good. But the day you say you can't go on because of people, because of one, they hurt you, or two, they're not there for you, you're a people pleaser, and you're no good to the kingdom or yourself anyway. So why are you even listening to this? You've already made a decision. You have to choose Christ above everything else. It's not always as hard as I'm making it out to be, but I figured I'd make it worse on you, and then when it wasn't so bad, you'd be excited. Even encouraged. Prepare for the worst and hope for the best. Amen? But this I know. The Lord doesn't want us playing around in ankle-high water like a bunch of five-year-olds.
You have been listening to Reverend Sandy Kareen of the Revival Center in Clovis, California. For more information about Reverend Kareen or this ministry, please visit our website at therevivalcenter.info.